The Apostle Paul wrote that approximately 57 AD. The question is why? Where did that conviction come from? You know, as I look at the Apostle Paul's life, from persecuting Christians to being persecuted as a Christian, you really get a sense that he knew that in Christ he had something very special. That the life he had in the Lord was unlike anything he could have imagined. Unlike anything he had ever had before. If I could pinpoint one thing that had the greatest impact on him spiritually, the one thing that kept him faithful, that kept him hopeful, that kept him positive in the face of some really challenging spiritual situations, I think it would have to be understanding the power of the gospel. What do we mean by gospel? Well, the word gospel literally is translated as good news. Now, we all like good news, right? Good news is a lot better than bad news. Nobody likes bad news, but we love to hear good news. But when I think about the gospel, I think good news really doesn't do it justice. Because the gospel is really more like great news. Now, there is a difference between good news and great news. So what is good news? Good news is you got a promotion. That's good news, right? You walk in your job one day and say, come on down to the office, and you go down to your supervisor, your manager, your boss, whoever, and they say, guess what? Great news, we're giving you a promotion. That's good news, right? But you know what great news is? You get a raise and a bonus with the promotion. So now it becomes great news. Good news is, I got into the college I wanted to get into, right? That would be good news for you teens. You know what great news is? For your parents, that you got in with a full scholarship. The good news now becomes great. You know what good news is? I don't owe the IRS any money this year. That's good news, right? You know what great news is? The IRS owes you money. That's great news. But now I think about the gospel of Jesus Christ. Not the good news, yes it is technically, but the great news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. That through that gospel, you get to personally walk with the Son of God every day. That God is not far off. That you get to walk with the Creator of all things. That's great news. You have direct access to God Almighty 24/7, 365. No matter what's going on, no matter what you're going through, no matter what your need might be, no matter what your life situation might be at that moment, immediate access to the Creator of all things. Both now and forevermore. I think that's a few notches up on the good to great scale. In fact, I think that's way off the scale. That's the great news of the gospel. Our 2014 theme is going to be plant deep, grow tall. And we're going to spend the entire year working on the spiritual disciplines, habits, practices. We're going to work on being deeply rooted in the Word and in prayer. We're going to talk about being deeply rooted in the presence of God, knowing that God is there, not just in your head, but in your heart. Knowing that no matter where I am, what I'm doing, what's going on, God is not far off. That God is literally seeing everything and God is a prayer away. And all I have to do is open up the Word of God and I will know exactly what God is thinking and what God wants. We're going to talk about understanding the life that God calls us to. And not just understanding that life, but living it and building a personal ministry through that awesome, deep conviction of the gospel. And I believe the result of this careful planting will be a bounty of fruit in every way. On January 17th, we have our kickoff devotional. We're going to go through the various ways that we're going about it. We're still working on it. We're not quite there yet. But we will be by the 17th, and we'll let you know what we're going to study, where we're going to go. We've got a lot of great plans, a lot of great dreams. Amen. So you'll hear more about this in greater detail. But today I want to look just a little bit at this idea of the gospel. And I want to see it through the eyes of Paul. What it meant to him, what it means to us. And as we begin to dig deeper roots, I can think of no better place than the gospel. Look at Luke chapter 4. And I want you to look with me in verse 18. When Jesus began his public ministry, this was the very first thing that he said. The Spirit of the Lord is on me, because he's anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners, recovery of sight for the blind, to release the oppressed, and to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. When Jesus preached that short little message, there was a wide range of responses. Some people ignored him. They thought they were just nice words. Other people wanted to kill him. And they followed him to the edge of a cliff, hoping to throw him off. They were so offended that this guy dared get up in the temple and grab the scroll and read such a powerful set of scriptures. Who does he think he is? But there were some on that day that as they listened to those words, they realized that from that moment on, their lives would never be the same. That what Jesus just spoke and the power and the impact of that great news had no other choice than to dramatically change their lives forever. Well, in verse 43, just a little further on, Jesus says, I must preach the good news of the kingdom of God to the other towns also, because that's why I was sent. He went out from there, and his goal and his intent was to bring that message to the rest of the world. Not just to that little group, but that everybody would hear. That was the message that a man named Saul of Tarsus heard. Now, prior to his conversion, Saul was a Jewish leader. He was a Pharisee. And he spent his entire life, he was bent on doing nothing more, and he saw it as his greatest mission from God to destroy this newfound, this upcoming Christianity. So he would go out of his way. He would find disciples of Jesus. He'd extradite them back to Damascus. He would do all he could do in his power to see that they were shut down and that this new movement following Christ would never get off the ground. So he went to great ends to be able to do that. His sole purpose in life was to persecute and destroy anyone who followed Christ. Well, that all changed one day because he met Christ. He wasn't expecting to. And as he was walking down a particular road, a light shone, God revealed himself through Jesus, and Saul at this time was just laid flat. He could not believe what was going on. But his life was about to dramatically change. He went on to accept and understand the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. He was baptized, his sins were forgiven, and the Lord changed him. Now he was Paul. To show what a dramatic change in life that he had. Paul went on to write most of the New Testament. Arguably, became the most influential person for the cause of Christ, second only to Jesus himself. And I want to show you what he felt about the whole thing. Look in 1 Timothy chapter 1. Beginning with me in verse 12. Paul says, I thank Jesus Christ our Lord, who's given me strength, that he considered me faithful, appointing me to his service, even though I was once a blasphemer and a persecutor and a violent man. And I was shown mercy because I acted in ignorance and unbelief. And the grace of our Lord was poured out on me abundantly, along with the faith and love that are in Christ Jesus. And here's a trustworthy saying that deserves full acceptance. Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners, of whom I'm the worst. But for that very reason, I was shown mercy, so that in me, the worst of sinners, Christ Jesus might display his unlimited patience as an example for those who believe on him and receive eternal life. Now to the King, eternal, immortal, invisible, the only God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. This, for Paul, was the power of the gospel. It was everything that Jesus promised it would be. It lived up to all the hype and all the power. He saw it in his own life. And after understanding the power of this gospel, he went on to spend the rest of his life defending it and being a great example of how to be motivated and inspired and how to live in it. You know, we often think of the gospel as where we begin. You got to begin with the good news. You hear the good news of Jesus, that's where we get our start. That's true. It is where we begin, but it's a lot more than that. Because if we're going to stay faithful in Christ, it can't just be where we begin. But it's got to be where we continue. And if we can continue in it, then the gospel of Jesus Christ will be where we finish this walk. And we'll go through that gate, whatever it looks like. And we'll hear the well done, good and faithful servant. Because we stay faithful to what? The gospel, the great news. That you began, continued, and finished with. Now Paul makes that crystal clear throughout his writings. But there's one in particular that I think makes it crystal clear. And I want to spend a little time today looking at it. If Paul wrote a letter to us today as a church, telling us the most important things that we need to remember as we walk this walk, what would he say? If there was a 67th book of the Bible and it was the letter to the Southern Connecticut Church, what would it be? Well, guess what? He's already written that letter. We're going to look at it today. No, it's not the 67th book, but it's already in the Bible. Because I believe Ephesians would be that letter. And I want you to turn it with me right now. And I want to do something a little different today. I want you to hear the heart and the conviction that the Apostle Paul had about this gospel of great news. The power of this gospel. And so I'm going to let Paul make the points today. And we're going to look and see what he has to say about the power of this message, this gospel. Ephesians chapter 1. I think the first point Paul would make was understand what we have in Christ. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, by the will of God, to God's holy people in Ephesus or Southern Connecticut, or wherever they may be, the faithful in Christ Jesus. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. Could you imagine? I mean, what he's saying is you have every spiritual blessing you can imagine. Now, we like to be blessed. I like to be blessed. But he's saying, you've got it all in Christ. There is nothing that we are lacking. There's nothing we're missing. You've got it all in Christ. Why is that? Because he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and to be blameless in his sight. In love, he predestined us for adoption to sonship through Christ Jesus in accordance with his pleasure and his will. To the praise of his glorious grace, which he's freely given us in the one that he loves. In him, we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, in accordance with the riches of God's grace, that he lavished on us with all wisdom and understanding. He made known to us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in Christ, to be put into effect when the times reach their fulfillment, to bring unity to all things in heaven and under earth. In Him, we were also chosen, having been predestined according to the plan of Him who works out everything in conformity with the purpose of His will, in order that we, who were the first to put our hope in Christ, might be for the praise of His glory. And you also were included in Christ when you heard the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation. And when you believed, you were marked in Him with a seal, promised Holy Spirit, who's a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession, to the praise of His glory. You were chosen. You're not here by chance. You're not here by mistake. 7 billion plus people. And before the creation of this entire world, God said, I want you. I'll call Ralph, I'll call Deanna, I'll call Jim, I'll call Peter, I'll call all of us. I want you to be here with me. And so I'll work it out in such a way that you'll be in the right place at the right time with the right person, hearing the right message, and you'll make the right response. Now, we didn't know that at the time. We thought we just kind of fell into this. But no, you didn't fall into anything. Because God loved you so much that He said, you know what? You're the one I want. That's why you're here. Paul recognized that clearly. I didn't stumble into this on that road to Damascus. Right. That God found me. God saw me out and said, you come with me now. Right. We normally don't like to hear those kind of words, but when it's Christ, it's a good thing. Yeah. You come with me now. You've been chosen. You've been determined that this is your life. For this reason, ever since I heard about your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all of God's people, I've not stopped giving thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers, and I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know Him better. He says, man, I pray for you all the time so that you'll have a deeper understanding, so that you'll really understand what you have, that you'll know Him better, that you won't be content with just knowing of Him, but that you'll get deep in your heart and deep into the Word and deep into prayer. And you'll know Christ so well that you couldn't imagine going a day, a moment, a second without Him. And I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened, in order that you may know the hope to which He's called you, the riches of His glorious inheritance in His holy people. It is an incomparably great power for us who believe. That power, it's the same as the mighty strength He exerted when He raised Christ from the dead and seated Him at His right hand in the heavenly realms, far above all rule and authority, power and dominion, and every name that is invoked, not only in the present age, but also in the one to come. Do you realize that the same power that rose Jesus from the dead to the astonishment of so many, that is the same power that works in you who believe? That when we walk with Jesus and we understand and we appreciate what we have, that same power is available to you. Sometimes you feel like, I can't do anything. I don't know what to do. I don't know where to turn. I don't know how to get out of this or through this or over this, above this or under this or wherever I need to go. But the same power that rose Jesus from the dead works in you who believe. You have that guarantee, that deposit of the Holy Spirit that says, I'm with you now. I'll work it out now, and I'll be with you later. Fear not. And God placed all things under His feet and appointed Him to be head over everything for the church, for what we have. God put Jesus in charge of all things for you. He works for your good. The church, which is His body, the fullness of Him who fills everything in every way. Understand what you have. But then I think he would say, I got a second point. Appreciate what you have in Christ. Now, as for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins, in which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world and the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the Spirit, who is now at work in those who are disobedient. All of us lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our flesh and following its desires and thoughts. And like the rest, we were by nature deserving of wrath. But because of his great love for us, God, who's rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ even when we were dead in our transgressions. And it's by grace you've been saved. And God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus, in order that in the coming ages he might show the incomparable riches of his grace, expressed in his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. For it's by grace that you've been saved through faith, and this not from yourselves. It's the gift of God. Not by works, so that no one can boast. For we're God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. Therefore, remember that formerly you, who are Gentiles by birth, and called uncircumcised by those who call themselves the circumcision, which is done in the body by human hands, remember that at that time you were separate from Christ, excluded from citizenship in Israel, and foreigners to the covenants of the promise, without hope and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, you who were once far away have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For he himself is our peace, who's made the two groups one and has destroyed the barrier, the dividing wall of hostility. By setting aside in his flesh the law, with its commands and regulations, his purpose was to create in himself one new humanity out of the two, and thus making peace. And in one body, to reconcile both of them to God through the cross, by which he put to death their hostility. He came and he preached peace to you who are far away, and peace to those who were near. For through him, we both have access to the Father by one Spirit. Consequently, you're no longer foreigners and strangers, but fellow citizens with God's people and also members of his household, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Christ Jesus himself as the chief cornerstone. In him, the whole building is joined together and it rises to become a holy temple in the Lord. And in him, you two are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by his Spirit. Amen. Appreciate what you have. But I think he'd have one more point. He'd say, be inspired and be motivated by what we have in Christ. For this reason, I, Paul, the prisoner of Christ Jesus, for the sake of you Gentiles, surely you have heard about the administration of God's grace that was given to me for you. That is the mystery made known to me by revelation. As I've already written briefly, in reading this then, you'll be able to understand my insight into the mystery of Christ, which was not made known to people in other generations as it has now been revealed by the Spirit to God's holy apostles and prophets. The mystery that is, through the gospel, the Gentiles are heirs together with Israel, members together of one body and sharers together in the promise of Christ Jesus. And I became a servant of this gospel by the gift of God's grace given me through the working of his power. Although I'm less than the least of all the Lord's people, this grace was given me to preach to the Gentiles the boundless riches of Christ, and to make plain to everyone the administration of this mystery, which for ages past was kept hidden in God, who created all things. His intent was that now, through the church, it's all of us. The manifold wisdom of God should be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly realms. That's everybody. According to his eternal purpose that accomplished in Christ Jesus our Lord. In him, through faith, in him we may approach God with freedom and confidence. I ask you therefore not to be discouraged because of my sufferings for you, which are your glory. For this reason, I kneel before the Father, whom from every family in heaven and on earth derives its name. And I pray that out of his glorious riches, he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power, together with all the Lord's holy people, to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ. And to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. That's the power of the gospel. That is how we plant deep. And if we can plant deep with anything coming close to what Paul just talked about, we have no choice but to grow tall. If we can grasp and harness and understand that level of conviction and passion for the gospel of Christ, the sky's the limit beyond that. As we move through 2014, my hope and prayer is that we can all write something just like that. Because through the power of the gospel, we are all living a life just like that. Amen. Thanks.